The Big News Coming Soon podcast is proudly sponsored by BRB Homes. BRB Homes is Ireland's number one award-winning manufacturer of factory-built homes. We take your home from start to finish. Our homes are A-rated and meet planning regulations. We build to your requirements and your budget. The cost includes your home being turnkey and our chartered engineer's fees. Please get in touch for a viewing of our show homes, a brochure, or for more information. Let BRB Homes take the stress out of your build. Check out brbhomes.ie.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello and welcome to the Big News Coming Soon podcast. This week I'm joined by a young man from the west of Ireland by the name of Martin Farraher, a man that I've been following for a long time, a man that I've admired for a long time, and a man who I think was living the dream far away, but he came home to pursue a different dream. And he goes by the name of Faraway Martin. Martin, you're very welcome.
Thank you very much, Alan. What a wonderful little intro there.
Yeah, so when I was a radio presenter on Midwest Radio, we were getting singles in from Faraway Martin and these absolutely unbelievable recordings from this young man from Ballinrobe, and delighted to play them on the radio. And every time we played them, we got a great reaction, because you wouldn't always get a big reaction from people. And that's for various different reasons. Different demographics and things like that. But that older demographic that tune into Midwest Radio obviously tune into you and support you and follow you from your local area as well. So you were kind of hitting a few different demographics, whereas other people wouldn't. And that's why you kind of stood out. Anytime I played you on the radio, there was messages coming in saying, oh, we love Martin and Martin this and Martin that. And then we became quite friends. We met a few times and we became close talking online. So from outside looking in, then I'm looking at this guy and he's living in Qatar and I'm thinking he's living the dream. And then I hear he's packed it all in and he's moved home. And now he's back in the Wild West to pursue a different dream. So let's go back to the very start. Where are you from?
I'm a Ballinrobe man for my sins. And I suppose I finished college and for the first year I was in a band. I've been playing music basically since I started learning when I was 12.
What age are you now?
31. I don't like revealing that. So I've been playing the guitar a good while. I was in various different bands. I did woodwork teaching in UL. And I came out of college and there wasn't a whole lot on offer. So I went over and visited some friends in Dubai. And I'd been there before when I was like 16. My brother was in Australia. And on the way down, I stopped off on the way back. And I loved the lifestyle and went back out, visited a few friends, as I said. And
Can we just come back there to when you said there wasn't a whole pile around here? Like you were applying for different jobs or were you not happy in UL or what was that job?
No. The woodwork teaching was great. Loved UL. I kind of wanted to stay around. Like basically, if you wanted to teach a job at that time, your only option was Dublin really for a newly qualified teacher. Or off you go on your travels. So
excuse my ignorance now. So how come you couldn't stay in UL?
I'd finished UL. I'd finished my degree.
Yeah.
And then I was a qualified teacher and I had to try and get a job teaching somewhere.
Right. Okay. So teaching woodwork was part of your degree.
Yeah. It's a woodwork teaching degree, woodwork, techcraft and all that. Yeah.
I have you now. I have you now. So then you were looking for a job and were you looking to come home to Mayo or?
Yeah. I came back that summer. Like the music was taken up. Basically, all I ever wanted to do was music. And I looked for a few jobs around the place and there wasn't a lot on offer. And I was kind of in a band at the time, Quality Street. We used to play Westport, Galway, Ballinrobe, all around the place. And that was going really well. And then I just, on a hunch, went over and visited some friends. Loved Dubai, loved the whole lifestyle. And the package is very good for teachers. Like in comparison to what a newly qualified teacher would get here, you get your flights, return flight, you get health insurance, you get a free apartment or they give you money for an apartment. And then it's a tax-free salary.
How much would an apartment cost per month out there, roughly?
It's expensive. You're talking about €2,500
a month.
I'd say, yeah, for between 1,800 and 2,500, depending on where you are.
And what's the average salary then for a teacher?
Let me see. It's all, I'm in real. To be honest, you wouldn't be getting, depending on the school and where you are and your experience, you wouldn't be getting a whole lot more than a teacher here. But you're not paying tax. You're not paying rent. You're not paying health insurance, you know what I mean?
The school pays your rent.
Yeah. So they either put you up or they give you a stipend towards it.
Wow.
And there's a great opportunity to, you know, go up the levels, you know, become a middle level leader or go on a lot quicker over there than here. Yeah, got a teaching job in Qatar. At the time, I hadn't really heard of it. I just wanted Dubai, but you needed some experience to get into Dubai. And then they said there's this school hiring, and I actually know the school. They're gems, gems is what they're called. And there's a load of them in Dubai. So they were opening one in Qatar. So I was like, well, you know.
Did you find it easy to get a job out there?
Yeah, there was a teacher recruitment company sent them my CV, and I could have had a job in the morning in the UK, but I didn't want to teach in the UK. There was a couple of ones in New Zealand, which I flirted with for a while. But I'll be honest, the lifestyle that I'd experienced on my couple of weeks over visiting, it was a great lifestyle.
What were you teaching?
Music.
Music. And what age were your students?
When my first year there, so the school was brand new, and if any teachers listening would know that a brand new school is trouble. It's basically like setting up a business, because the schools out there, they basically are a business, a private school. I was teaching from, we'll say, kindergarten, baby infants music, right up to like third year music, but not every class, but a mix. And the second year in my teaching, then the school kind of developed a bit more and I just went to secondary because I was a secondary teacher. But I found it very tough. I was this 23-year-old full of passion for music, full of life. And I was meeting like 15, 16-year-old Arab kids that never studied music before. And it's very hard to change tradition and culture. A few of them I'd like to think I did have an impact on. But I was like, this isn't going to work. I need to get them younger. So then I moved to for the last few years, then I started teaching from, we'll say, second class to fifth class. And that was, as you say, it was a dream. It came with its challenges, but I loved it. I really connected with the kids in that level because I'm a big child myself.
And what languages do you speak?
English. I was teaching in an American curriculum school. So English is the main language. I learned a little bit of Arabic while I was there. I have the Kupla Focal and I did German Leaving Cert, so I have enough to get me by, you know, yourself.
So technically you don't need any other language, only English?
No.
They all speak English?
Yeah. It's encouraged. A lot of them are going to an American school or British school to improve their English in that.
I'm fascinated by this. You know, you said it's a brand new school. That must have been really cool. It must have been really cool to walk into a brand new school and have all brand new things to Irish schools.
Yeah, well, all the supplies, everything was a long time coming. The school wasn't completely finished when we started school. So we were kind of just like getting what we could and putting whatever classes we could together at the start. But then when the school got going, like there's a recording studio, there's a football, an AstroTurf football pitch, there's a basketball court in the roof, there's
A like basketball court on the roof.
Yeah, that's only used a couple of weeks a year because it's too hot.
Was there preference then for children that might have had rich parents?
Yeah, it's a private school. So, I mean, you pay your fees and you get in the school. If you don't have the money, you don't go to the school. The
way it works, was everyone treated the same then once they're in?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, they were in my class. I knew I didn't care if who they were. Like, we'd have royalty in the school, but like, at the end of the day, there's an 8-year-old. Do you know what I mean? They're just a kid.
Is the money out there fascinating?
It'd make you sick, yeah.
Explain, are you talking about kids being dropped off in Lamborghinis?
Not exactly Lamborghinis, although it has happened, like, but no, we'll say a lot of families, a lot of the rich, so basically all types of families went to the school. A lot of expat kids, because they worked for companies that were subsidized their kids' education, so they were put in this school and whatever. The main thing for private schools, in my experience, and I've worked in a couple, is it is a business first, and it has to be, I guess, an education second. That's not to say that, you know, that there is no education there, because we've had some fantastic learning experiences in the school, but it's so different to teaching in Ireland. It's just so different. Chalk and cheese, it's completely different.
Tell me some of the differences.
Well, in the morning, if you want to talk about money and rich, like, a lot of families would have nannies, and the nannies would be, the kids would be brought to school by the driver in their Land Cruiser or big brand new Nissan Patrol or some massive big car. And the nannies would walk the kids into school and leave them off and collect them and that. And not every family, but a lot of families, the rich families, would have had nannies out there. Birthdays in school, they'd be coming in and they'd be given like little, you know how you get like goodie bags, but they'd be giving them stuff that's worth, like, it's not like a lucky bag.
We
or
got
whatever.
A lucky dip where you'd get like a lollipop and a dib dab.
Yeah. Oh no, this is like custom made stuff, and like, you know, it's just.
And who would be giving it to them? Other kids?
Yeah, it'd be from the families. The thing, Arabic people are very, very welcoming. They're like Irish mammies. The mammies are like Irish mammies. Now, a lot of them keep to themselves, but, you know, like anyone, if you get to know someone, they have wide open arms. They treat you so well. So, that's some of the changes.
So, like, there's a birthday party. So little Mary there is having her birthday today.
Mariam. She wouldn't be called Mary. She'd be Mariam.
Mariam. So Mariam is there having her party in the corner, and the other kids are bringing in presents, and you're sitting here watching.
No. It's the kid whose birthday, right?
Yeah.
It's his or her birthday. The mother will bring in a massive cake. It could be a 3-tier cake, like a wedding cake. And then they'll have little goodie bags with their names on them. And, you know, it's a bit backward, like the way it is. It's the birthday kid that gives everyone else presents, kind of thing.
What?
Yeah.
So when it's your birthday,
you bring your stuff in, you celebrate, yeah.
Wow. That's,
yeah, I know. Something small. I never really actually know how to speak about it.
That sounds like an absolute nightmare for the parents. I have to go buying 30 things for all the kids.
It got so out of hand that, like, you know, there was families trying to outdo each other that we had to just put a stop to it in the school and be like, little celebration, you can only bring in blah blah blah.
You're only allowed to bring in a Mars bar.
Wow. But listen, it was a huge experience. It was I've had some of my best, my proudest moments in the classroom. I've met kids, there's like 80 nationalities in the school. It was fantastic. It's so different as well, because in Ireland, when you're finished teaching, you go home, you close the door and you go back and you go with your family or whatever. But out there, like, I was seeing my students more than I've seen my nieces and nephews, you know. And you do end up becoming attached to some of the families. They might invite you over, like an expat family might invite you over for a barbecue and a few drinks at the weekend. Or, you know, you're Irish, they assume you're up for a pint or whatever. Then during Ramadan, the holy month, a lot of the Muslim families would invite you over to their house for iftar. That's when they break their fast. And, you know, so it's not like school here where, like, I think in Ireland, the teachers are like, they're just viewed as teachers and all they do is teach and they're in the school 24/7. Is that one still up there in Christ? You know,
yeah.
Whereas it's very different out there because, again, I think for a lot of the kids, I thought I was a great role model for them. And I was kind of young and I was good crack. And you see, they see me on YouTube and they're automatically, they think I'm a star.
Oh, you're cool.
I mean?
Yeah, exactly. You're the cool teacher.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I guess in Ireland, if you went around to if the teacher went around to your house for a barbecue, you'd be worried about favoritism. And you'd be worried about all these different breaking so many different rules and maybe not rules, but it's kind of like not
unspoken
the done
rules.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's
not
the
done thing. Exactly. Yeah,
whereas over there, it's cool. It's fine.
Yeah, I mean,
like you aren't going in getting given anyone preferential treatment because you were at a barbecue at the weekend.
No, like there's none. Like at the end of the day, I was teaching music. So
okay,
do you know what
yes,
I mean?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I wasn't like going to do make or break their education. You know what I mean? But. That again, that's another thing I was lucky I was teaching because the kids love coming to it, you know, and that's why I made the change. I was much happier when I moved down to like teaching the primary kids.
I've only ever been out that neck of the woods for 2 days. I was in Dubai for 2 days. I was flown over to film a video for a band called Roolia Boolia.
Yes, and I know the video.
We filmed it the day before St. Patrick's Day, I think it was. I don't even know where it was. It was all a whirlwind. I was flown in, filmed it, flown out again. And yeah. I literally went down to some like taxi rank or whatever it was. And I said, I have an hour and a half. Can you show me everywhere?
Right. Yeah.
And your man goes, yeah, give me however much it was. I'll bring you everywhere.
Yeah.
And that's the tour I got. I got a whirlwind tour around. I got probably 20 minutes in the shopping center, ran around. There was a big ice rink in there.
Yeah.
I just saw. But for the hour and a half that I got this tour, it was just money, 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 money.
Yeah.
Everywhere you looked. It was the best of everything.
Yeah.
The best of handbags, the best of cars.
Yeah.
And like you say, like it was kind of sickening, but also like, wow, this is how the other half live.
Yeah. It's overwhelming when you first go out there and you're not used to it. Like it took a while to adjust to the customs and traditions, we'll say.
As a teacher, is there a bit of keeping up with the Joneses out there because you're not on, you're on good money, but you're not on huge money. Do you feel that there are people keeping up with the Joneses or trying to?
I mean, there'll be people that'll put their, everyone does it, but put their best life on social media and they're living the high life, this, that, and the other. There's people that do that, but no, I felt no pressure to keep up. And it was mad when I went out first, right? As I said, it was a new school. There was like 60 or 70 teachers hired at the same time. And a lot of them were newly qualified. There was 10 of us from Ireland went out. We all met in the airport, Dublin airport, in the bar. And we had a little chat.
Did you mean to meet or it just...
Yeah, we were all hired by the same recruitment company.
Right, so you knew each other
so
going out.
So we were all in a group email or whatever. Brilliant. So we met up at the airport and whatever and ended up being to this day some of my best friends, which is brilliant. But it was 60, 70 of us. We were all living in the one apartment block. It was basically like going to university, but you had money.
Wow.
And that's what it was for the first year. Like, you know, it was just like everything is new. Everything is glitz and glam. Spin, spin, spin. Like I didn't save any money. It's not that you're trying to put on this life, but you just want to do as many things and experience as many things because it's all new and it's all fun and it's fascinating. Like the big thing out there is a brunch. So people, like I get the same. I was actually thinking of printing a t-shirt with all the answers on it because every time I come home, I get the same questions. It's like, how are you getting on in Dubai? It's not Dubai, it's Doha. Can you drink out there? Yes, I've drank more out there than I ever drank in Ireland. Can women drive? Yes, women can drive. Can women vote? Yes, they can. Is it strict?
Can you shift in public out there?
No,
no.
You can't.
No shifting.
Haven't been caught. No, so basically...
You can't hold hands.
You can, yeah, you can. But you can. They say you can't, you can. I have done it. And I've never been, they say, like people say, I've been hissed at or... People come up to me in the mall and said, you can't do that. That has probably happened to some people. It has never happened in my experience.
Yeah. Because when I was filming the music video, there was a couple, like it was all Irish. It was in this big Irish centre.
The Irish village, I'd assume, yeah.
What's it called? Is it McGettigan's?
McGettigan's,
yes.
Yeah.
and it was in this big Irish centre, and there was, it was full of Irish people, yeah. And then, but there were one or two people doing a sneaky little shift, and then the bouncer would go over and break them up.
Yeah.
Like a teenage disco.
Yeah, it's a bit like that.
None of that crack.
Yeah.
And what were you spending money on?
Like
is drink expensive?
Yes. So this is why brunch is there, the thing. Everyone does a brunch on a Friday. You work from Sunday to Thursday. The weekend is Friday, Saturday. Friday is their holy day. But it's also the day where the non-Muslims go to brunch. And brunch is where you... Drink is really expensive. I don't know. A pint could be... You're talking more than Temple Bar prices. A pint could be 10 or 12 euro or something, you know? So you go to the brunches. The brunches are, you pay anywhere, we'll say, between 80 euro and 150 euro, depending on where you go, for all you can eat and drink for 4 hours. So that's, everyone just goes to brunches. So that's what you're doing the first few months. Like, I'm out there now and I'm the one playing at the brunches, at the gigs and that. So, like,
I always wondered when I see on Instagram all these Irish people at these events every week. So that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because, like, it's the teaching out there. The hours are quite demanding. Like, you're up at, for us, we're up at 5:30. You're heading off at 6. You're in at work at 7. You finish at 3 or half 3. You can't go out and have a few pints and come back in. Like, there's been stories of lads that did, and the alcohol was smelt off them the next morning, and they're sent on a flight home.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So
zero tolerance.
Zero tolerance, which is fair enough. It's the way every school is, but, like... it's just they're leaning out there.
I had a few teachers now, and you get a whiff off them the next morning. None of them were ever sent home, but there were different times, I suppose.
Exactly.
Is there drugs out there?
There is. There definitely is. I have never seen any. I tell you what, it's not like here in Ireland anyway. There definitely are drugs. There, apparently the biggest drug in Qatar is heroin, because.
But if you're caught with it, that's it. You're gone.
Oh, yeah.
You get life in jail.
Yeah, I'd assume so, yeah. You're
game over.
Yeah, game over, yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard of a few lads that got mixed up with coke with a few Qatari lads. Then one lad he was out at a night out or whatever, and all the bars are in hotels and that. And he hit it off with these bunch of Qatari lads that were all drinking, and then they went up to a room and they had a glass table that was enough of coke that you could bake a cake with, apparently.
Right. Pure scarf.
So it is there. It is there. I suppose the people with money have it, but, like, it's like, you know, they're putting stuff up every day of people being caught and this, that, and the other. You wouldn't risk it, like.
No.
Completely different to Ireland at the moment. And
you know these the videos you see of people leaving a handbag on a chair and leaving it there for an hour, and you come back and it's still there. Is that true?
It is. Now, it is... It's really safe.
So there's all these viral videos on TikTok, if you're not familiar at the moment, where somebody will say they take their wallet out and they leave their wallet, their phone and their handbag on a park bench, and they go in and they have a coffee and then they come back out and everything is still on the park bench. And they're all going viral on TikTok at the moment. And I'd be wondering, is that true? Like, at Joanne McNally's concert recently, did you see that last week in Dubai?
Yeah.
And all the women reserved the seats with their handbags.
Yeah.
And it was just like 15 handbags all lined up on the chairs.
Yeah.
Zero tolerance for stealing.
You're in a pub, you're in a coffee shop, whatever cafe. You have a coffee. You leave your phone on the table. You go to the toilet. You come back. You can guarantee your phone will be there. There might be the odd. There was one time I lost my phone in a taxi, and I got it back the next day. Like, you know, they're very honest people. A lot of the Muslims are. Now, that's not to say it doesn't happen.
Yeah,
I had a bag of Faraway Martin t-shirts merch stolen from a gig one night. But I think that was just someone else that was jealous. That just, whatever.
Probably an Irish person.
Well, possibly. But it's extremely safe. In that regard, the roads are extremely unsafe. The driving is chaotic out there.
There's no penalty points or anything like that.
There's no penalty points. There's fines. There's hefty fines. But, like,
did you drive out there?
Yeah.
Did you have a car?
Yeah.
You owned a car?
I own a car over there, yeah.
What kind of car did you own?
Mitsubishi Pajero, 3.5 litre petrol.
Wow.
I couldn't drive to Castlebar with it.
It'd drive pass everything except a petrol station.
Yeah. Exactly.
And is that notion-y? Is that like a real notion-y thing to have out there?
That is your lower end of the spectrum expat car.
Oh, is it?
Oh, complete. No, it's 2008. It's not, you know.
How much was it, roughly?
About €5,000.
Okay, not expensive.
Cars can be cheap out there. You see a lot of people go out and the glitz and glam goes to their head and they get a loan for a big fancy Corvette or, you know, yeah. This happens a lot.
And how much is the car insurance?
It's the good thing about there is you insure the car. It's not like here. So if the car is insured, anyone can drive it.
Right.
Which is great. It's the way I think every other country in the world works, apart from Ireland and England. But it's not dear. It's only like €300 or €400 for fully comp for the year.
Right.
And that's for anyone to drive it, as I said.
So you're here telling me this story about you rocked out, you got a job handy enough, they paid your rent, you were on good money, you were living your best life, everything was going great. What are the downsides? What are the negatives then to living in Qatar teaching?
My dream has always just been music. And I'm not going to say I conquered Qatar, but I got pretty much every goal I set, I achieved it. I've been very, very fortunate. Have a huge support network out there. The great thing about out there is it's full of expats from all over the world.
They're more supportive out there than they are at home.
It's like this. I'm a little taste of home for a lot of people. And for everyone else, for the non-Irish people, I'm a bit of crack. Or, you know, we know how to put on a show or whatever. Like, I'm very fortunate. I've got some great lads in the band with me out there, from a couple of Irish lads and from all over, really.
But what I mean is, if you do a gig in Castlebar tonight, you might get, I don't know, 20 people at it. Let's just say, hypothetically speaking.
Yeah.
But if word gets out over there that you're doing a gig in a pub, everyone and their mother that's Irish is going to go in because you're Irish and they're going to support you.
It kind of was that case, but I've been there since 2015 now, so I think it is like worn off a bit.
The novelty is worn off.
But like, the reason to pack it all up is there is no original music scene out there. I'm one of very few artists that are really giving it a go. And I have to say, the radio stations out there, one of them, QBS in particular, they've been so supportive, play me all the time. They actually played one of my songs in the space of like a month. They played it 200 and something times. You just would not get that support here. And it's, again, they just see someone giving a go and, you know, trying the original music thing. And it's new out there. Like, right, well, big fish in a small pond.
QBS then, like, is that on a par with RT2FM or Midwest Radio?
Yeah. It would be the biggest English station out there.
And do you get any royalties from that? Is there like IMRO or anything like that?
No, there's talk of it, but no, not yet.
But that's fine, because the support of 200
it's not
plays.
Fine, Alan.
No, but the support of 200 plays alone huge radio station is mega.
It's bizarre hopping in the car or driving home from work and your song comes on the radio. It's just the most bizarre feeling ever. And you know what kills me is all these fake musicians that, like, they put it on TikTok that their song is on. It's so obvious they know what's coming on at this time.
But you see this in Ireland a lot, like where they're a country music singer is tuned into a radio station and they request their song and their song gets played and then they're in the car going, oh my God, can't believe they're playing my song.
Yeah.
Well, I know from inside.
Oh, yeah.
You requested it.
Yeah.
We played it.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Alan, I used to enjoy social media and all that, but I think it's just gone so fake now. Just the music side of things anyway. It's just gone... Everyone's trying everything just to rise above, which I get it, because there isn't many other options to do, because it's very hard to make it. There's so much noise out there. As I was saying, in Qatar, big fish in a small pond. But here, I'm a drop in the ocean compared to the talent that's in this country.
Yeah.
And how hard it is to get up. So that was my main reason for moving back. I tried it in 2019. I quit teaching, moved home. I did a tour. I think that's when we really connected up. I was doing the 32 county tour in the van. That went almost really well. I got to 23 out of the 32, and then unfortunately there was a bereavement in the family.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
And then COVID came along, and then I was sitting on my arse for 6 months doing nothing, no gigs. And I was like, there's a job out there for me. I went back to my old school again. They were very welcoming. And
so where are you at now at the moment? You've packed it all in and you've moved home, and you moved home to try and make it as a singer in Ireland.
Yeah, that's the long and short of it. Yeah, I'm going to be going back over to Qatar. I'll be spending probably half my time there. I'm well set up there. And I suppose the main reason really is my girlfriend, or now fiance, is over there. So I have to be back and over.
Like, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, right, you're a 31-year-old lad. You're living in Qatar. You have a good job, good money, seem to have a good lifestyle, happy with the music out there. Why on earth would you come back to Ireland to try and make it as a singer in a country that, even if you did make it as a singer in Ireland, you're never going to make huge money? Like, You're never, unless you're Dermot Kennedy. Yeah. And there's a big difference between Dermot Kennedy and, you know, I don't know. I don't even want to say the next name. Yeah, ladder, yeah, yeah, but yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
it's like this, Alan, as you said, I'm 31. I reckon I've a couple of years left in me before kids come along and all this. I don't want to be sitting on the couch with a young lad or a young little girl in on my lap saying, I should have done this. I should have done that. I just said, excuse my language, but I said, F it. I'm going to pack it up. If I don't do it now, I'll never get the chance again. That's the main reason, yeah.
Could you not make it in Qatar? Could you not tick all your boxes and fulfill your dreams in Qatar?
No.
Why not?
I can't even tick all the boxes and fulfill my dreams in Ireland. Not for the dreams I have. You're talking Dermot.
But Ireland's different. That's where I want to be. Ireland, you know, we don't allow people to become celebrities and become famous in Ireland.
Yeah. Well,
it's only the very small few that get through.
I'll be honest. I've had great success in Qatar. I've played main stage at the Formula One Grand Prix. Played main stage at the MotoGP. I played in front of 40,000 people the opening night of the FIFA World Cup. And I'm hoping some of that success will echo back here in Ireland. Now I'm here, I'm releasing a new song soon, and I have a few gigs coming up, and I'm just, like, I give it everything. The classroom will always be there. I don't hate teaching, I really enjoy teaching. It's very fulfilling, I get a lot out of it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I have this little fire in me, and I either have to make it blow up or put it out, and I'm just going to, just give the music a go. It's mad. People think I'm absolutely mad, but I was on great money and I spent most of my money traveling. That's where most of my money went. But
I don't think you're mad. I admire you. I admire you an awful lot for having the courage to give up that and come back to Ireland and give it a go. I really, really admire that.
I'll be honest with you. There's days where, up and down, there's days where it's like, what the hell have I done? What am I doing? And then there's other days where it's like, I've got this. This is going well. You know what I mean?
It takes a lot of courage. And the majority of people wouldn't have that courage to pack in their job and say, I'm going to try and chase my dreams.
Yeah.
They wouldn't.
Yeah. I suppose people admire me for that. And
Talk to me then about the World Cup. So I'm sitting here in the west of Ireland and I watch this fella with a really slick, shit-hot music video on the roof of some building in Dubai singing, I've got fire. I got fire, you know, baby. Yeah, I got soul. And I'm not one to be messed with. You all know. You're on TV screens and you're on radio. And has that been the pinnacle of your career so far?
I would say out there, yes. But I was hoping that was my ticket. I was like,
you thought this is going to make me.
I thought this is going to make me, and it absolutely had no, it was no currency back here in Ireland. It wasn't, you know what I mean? I thought it would, like, unsigned Irish act. He doesn't have a manager. He's completely independent. He gets a song on a Hyundai ad, which then leads him to playing the opening night of the World Cup. We were supposed to play the closing night then as well.
So the Hyundai TV ad used your song?
Yeah, so they made, it was an online ad campaign, and I think it was shown in Qatar only then as well, because Hyundai weren't the main sponsors for the World Cup. So
did they pay you for that?
Yes, yeah. So I got paid for that, and then that went well, and then I suppose the fact that we had already played the Formula One and the MotoGP and, you know, different big festivals out there, we would have been like, of the local acts, we would have been one of the first ones that would get the call for the World Cup.
Who's we? Had you a band?
Yeah.
And then how it works, Hyundai come along and they say, we want to use your song on our TV ad and we're going to use it for 3 months or 6 months or 9 months. And they pay you. That's how it works in Ireland. Is that how it works out there?
Yeah, it was basically a once-off cash payment type thing.
They can't use it forever.
They can't use it forever, no.
No, they have to use it for so many months.
It was only for the duration of the World Cup. It was like, it wasn't even 3 months. It was only from when it came out up to the end of the World Cup.
Right. And then you made a music video in one of the Hyundais, did you?
No, that's me in the ad.
You're in the ad?
I'm in the Hyundai ad playing the song.
So they put you in the ad as well?
Yeah.
So that's more money. That's more bank.
It was all one deal.
No,
you know?
I know. I'm not trying to take away from it. That's just huge.
Yeah, I mean, it was. If
most singers would just get the song, but then they asked you to be in.
You have a face like this.
Well, they asked you to be in the video itself.
Yeah, well, you see, it's a very, I Got Fire is a very upbeat song. It goes with the kind of festival vibe and kind of anthem vibe. So it was like just the car driving around all these coupes in the city.
So how do you get these gigs then? How do you get these gigs with Formula One and FIFA? Who's ringing you or who's contacting you?
It's basically from, I had a bit of a reputation there for, we were a good cover band and we did all the brunches and all that. And then I started releasing music and then a few TikToks caught a bit of traction out there. We were doing gigs on the paddleboards. I know you were mad for that. Mm. We did that and we did ones in different places and a few of them started to blow up and we started to ask to get this, that and the other. And
so for people who don't know, you'd go out and you'd sit on a paddleboard and you'd have a little
ukulele and a guitar and a trumpet. Yeah,
and there'd be gigs in the middle of the water with people just sitting on paddleboards listening to you and a couple of lads strumming away.
It started with, we did one video singing Three Little Birds. And I uploaded that and it did really well. And then people started seeing us. It's like a big, there's a load of apartment blocks in a horseshoe shape.
Yeah.
And there's a beach inside that horseshoe and everyone in the apartments looking out can see who's in the water or whatever. We went out another day and people saw us and they started coming out. So like then there was, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 people. Then it went up to, this is in the height of COVID as well. So we weren't really breaking any laws, but we kind of were. And then it got to the point where there was a couple of hundred people there and the police were called and we had to abandon ship. We couldn't do it. It was just something different. And I suppose all that traction online all led to the Formula One, which all led to Hyundai stuff, which all led to the World Cup stuff. But I have to say, I thought that all, especially the FIFA World Cup thing, would be huge back here in Ireland. It didn't get any traction whatsoever because the whole World Cup here, there was just so much controversy around it.
Yeah. We were afraid to cover the World Cup here.
That's the thing. That's people were afraid to cover it. It was only negative stuff. I went on to Joe Duffy myself because I was listening to absolute bull by people that didn't, like, I've been living in the country for, at that point, 7 years, nearly 8 years. And, like, I was setting the record straight, kind of, for what was going on.
In what sense? We were hearing horror stories that people were dying at the side of the road and they were just kind of kicking them to the curb and saying, right, next.
Yeah, well, I cannot confirm or deny that. There definitely has been deaths. But during the duration of the stadiums being built and the whole city being built, Qatar actually did improve their working laws and they did improve their minor improvements, but they have improved them. What was killing me was it was like people were anti-Qatar, but yet they'll pop off to Dubai for a couple of weeks. And, you know, it was just the pure hypocrisy of that. It was just driving me nuts when they're the exact same. Do you think no one died building the big Burj that everyone likes to go up and get photos on? You know what I mean? It just hasn't been covered. For me, the whole World Cup, the British media, which led to the Irish media, it was just Islamophobia. You're not going to hear any of this stuff in the USA in a couple of years' time. And like their human rights violations they're atrocious. Like, but I think personally that it comes back to Islamophobia. It was the first time I was in the Middle East and it was like a fear of them. Like what the Saudis do now, they're taking over golf, they're taking over soccer, they're taking football. You know what I mean? I think it was a bit of that.
I was working in a supermarket chain and we had an American store manager. He wasn't a manager. What was he called? An area manager, you know? And he came over from America and he was on his, whatever they call it, where you come over to Ireland and you do a couple of years here and then he was going moving back.
Opposite to a J1.
Yeah, he was going moving back anyway. Where he was moving to, he needed to learn Spanish. Spanish was nearly the first language, whichever part of America he was going to. I can't remember at the time. But I just remember thinking to myself, God, I'd love that. Like, I'd love to go out there and I'd love to do this job out there for a while. And I remember saying to him one day, you know, what would be the chances of me getting a transfer out to America and trying it out there? And his exact response, and I often talk about this to my brother, he goes, Alan, you wouldn't last 5 minutes out there. And like, I'm a hard worker. I'm not afraid of work and I don't shy away from it. And I said, why wouldn't I? We don't got any of this EU regulation bullshit out there, he goes. Yeah. He goes, you work when we need you to work and you finish when we're finished.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
that was that's exactly what he said. He said, you wouldn't, and like EU regulations, what are they? We work 39 hours and we had to give them 2 consecutive days off.
Yeah.
You know, and you had to get your half an hour break and then your 15 minute break. And he just said, look, it doesn't exist out there.
It's just perception really, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And you're getting excited, right? So let's go back to that time. You're getting excited. You're like, wow, I'm going to be the man in the Hyundai TV ad. This is mega. I'm going to be the fella on the FIFA song. And then you're kind of getting ahead of yourself.
Oh, yeah.
And sure, you're thinking, the I'm going to be the next.
The head swelled and I ran away at myself.
I'm going to be playing Electric Picnic in Ireland this time next year.
Yeah, I mean, like,
what thoughts were going through your head?
Firstly, like, all my hard work was paying off because, like, it is hard work. As well as teaching, I was playing 4 or 5 nights a week. You know, I was gigging all the time. And
Is gig money good out there in comparison to Ireland?
It would be better. I'd say it is better. But the beauty about it, Alan, is you don't need to do, you just rock up, you plug your guitar and you play it. There's no carrying heavy equipment through the smoking area in the pissing rain at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Well, so all the gear is built in.
But yeah, there's sound engineers in most of the hotels and that. So yeah.
Wow, that's like the dream.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I'm heading back in 3 weeks, 4 or 6 weeks for that reason.
Right.
And of course to see Sean as well.
Yeah, yeah. That's the main reason. The main reason is to see the fiancé and do a few gigs. Brilliant.
But like in saying that, why would I come home? My heart's at home. I love Ireland. I love the crack. You can't compare Ireland to anywhere else. It's just, it's head and shoulders above the rest, no matter where you are. It's definitely changing. I've really noticed since I came home, inflation, the price of things. I've noticed like people are now very, I don't know, racist here. They're very
hostile.
It's hostile. It's like a cooking pot, pressure pot, I think.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there. And
I think the whole cocaine thing has gone absolutely nuts. Like, it's as common as going out for a fag, lads going out for a key or a line of coke. Like, it's...
Oh, it's a key? What's a key?
Key is where they get the key and they just...
Oh, right,
stick
okay.
it up their noses.
Okay.
Walking down Galway the other night and saw them doing it there in the middle of the street in Shop Street.
A key?
Yeah.
I've never heard that. I've never heard that term. But no, I will agree with you. It's everywhere at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very different country. Again, there's days I wake up, I'm like, what am I at? And there's other days I'm like, this is, yeah, it's going.
So how long are you away then? When did you go?
I first moved away in 2015.
Right, 2015.
Yeah, and you've so been over exactly 8 years.
You've been over and back the whole time.
Yeah. Like, I was home for 6 months in 2020 when I had quit teaching and I was just...
And in those 8 years, you think Ireland has completely changed?
Well, the whole world has changed. But yeah, Ireland has definitely changed. There's no doubt Ireland has changed. Things have gotten more expensive. The pub scene isn't what it was. The price of petrol. Look, I don't need to tell any of the listeners. Like, everyone's suffering. But like, it definitely has changed.
But you see, it's interesting to hear it from somebody who has just come back, because I think people are, like, at the minute, the petrol has gone up again, but no one's really talking about it.
Yeah,
it's just, we're just accepting it now, and we're just getting kicked all the time. And we're just accepting it. And now, when the ESB bills went up, it was like, oh, here, we're going to cover 1 or 2 of your ESB bills. You're not going to have to pay the next one. And then suddenly, now we're not talking about them anymore.
Yeah.
But why aren't we talking about it?
I don't want to be one of them lads. You know, they often get called the Yank. They go off to America a few years and they come back and all they do is complain about the country.
No, you're not complaining. You're stating
I don't know what it is with the Irish people. I think we're just too nice.
I find that people have become very negative and hostile. Racist, I hate to use the word racist because I really don't want us to become racist. And I was accused of being racist during the week when I was talking about the moving refugees into tents in Stradbally for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
That has nothing... I don't care what country they're from. I'm totally against putting kids in a tent for 6 weeks in Ireland. That's what I'm against.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then the problem I had was, where are they going to go in 6 weeks? Because I'm here living in this house and I'm on daft every week.
Yeah.
There's no houses.
There's nothing. No.
There's no houses available. And whatever is available, I can't afford it.
Yeah.
And I'm here reading about these people being moved into a modular house and their bills are 40 euros. That's how much they're paying for their ESB, their broadband, their bins.
Yeah, it's...
And I'm pissed off. Yeah. But it's not making me racist. I'm pissed off.
Yeah, well, that's the government. Personally, yeah, but going back, I think the Irish people are too nice. They're letting the government walk all over them. It's not these poor people that are coming to our country.
No.
Like the Irish people, like I immigrated myself. The Irish people built America. There isn't a bloody country in the world that doesn't have, or a town or city in the world that doesn't have an Irish pub, or, you know, we've been everywhere. So I'm all about looking after those that need looking after, but that also means looking after us, as in the Irish people need looking after. I think, going back to what you say, people are afraid to talk about the World Cup. I think people now are so on the fence about everything. I think this whole cancel culture thing as well, is just, I think that's really changed Ireland. There's been so many people on Twitter. There's been so much right wing and so much left wing. And there's so, do you know what I mean? It's very one and the other, whether it's homelessness, whether it's LGBTQ plus or any of that, whether it's, you know, but I do think that the government are walking all over us and, you know.
Oh, they are.
That corruption in RT is just a cherry on top of what's actually.
There's no question there. And I don't think many people would disagree with you.
Yeah, yeah, but I don't know, where do we go from here? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't have the answer. I have to write a song about it.
You can come home and try to make it as a huge singer and maybe make it and maybe not. Yeah. Or you can live a really good, happy, healthy, successful life in Qatar and be financially stable.
Yeah, the thing is, this decision, as I said, I'm happy enough to go back teaching whenever. It's not permanent. Like, I'm going to give it a go. If I don't try it now, I'll have regret in the future.
What does your fiance want to do?
We will eventually be moving home. We've planned permission to build a house, but when we got planning permission, there was maybe an idea we could afford it. Now we can't afford to build it all. Like, not.
Do you ever think about a factory built house?
Yeah. Anyways,
I know where I can
you
get
someone,
you.
Do you?
I know a man.
You give me a good discount.
He might look after you. I'll put in a word for you.
B&B Homes make your dream home a reality. We do it all from start to finish. Your one-stop shop to becoming a homeowner. Log on to brbhomes.ie.
So you have planning permission.
Yeah, we applied in 2020. We got it in 2021. And like the...
So do you have 5 years then to build, or how long?
5 years, yeah. I think you can get it extended and all that, but right. we're just...
Yeah, but it's another noose around your neck too. Like, if you're not ready for it.
That I'm not earning and all that. But so, as I say, people think I'm mad and all that, but I just have this... My students' families will say I'm so passionate about music. Like, it's I live and breathe it. So I need to give it a go. You know
I'm enjoying talking to you, because it's really interesting talking to a young man that loves life as much as you do. Like, you're really sociable. You love traveling. You love life. You love gigging. You love talking to people, meeting people. And I'm probably the opposite. I wouldn't be as sociable as you. You know, I'm not that gone on meeting new people.
You won't sit in a restaurant on your own and eating your own.
No, I won't do that. I've done it a couple of times and I'm very proud of myself when I do it. But the thought of me moving out to somewhere like Qatar on my own and trying to make new friends, I just don't think I'd ever be able to do that.
You think that.
But it's getting very close. And I had this discussion a couple of days ago. You offer me a job somewhere in another country.
Yeah.
That's stable and they can give me a bit of security, and I will absolutely bite your arm off.
I hear you, definitely.
I've no education. I can't go teaching. I don't know what I can do. I can market anything. I can sell sand to the Arabs. That's what I can do.
I've been doing it for 8 years. So I have.
If there's anyone that wants to give me a marketing job and can pay my rent in Qatar, I'll take it.
They call me Martin Muhammad out there. So
Martin Muhammad?
Yeah,
why?
Because that's the name. It's the most common name. Like,
okay.
It's actually the most common name in Galway last year as well. Did you know that?
Muhammad?
Yeah.
I didn't. No, I didn't, but I'd believe it. How many countries have you visited?
45.
And are you mad to tick them all off?
I was. When I started going, it very much became a box ticking exercise. But now that I'm pushing on a bit, I'm more about the comfort and the leisure as opposed to,
yeah,
you know, like I'm 31 now, when you're couch surfing or like, you know, being in a hostel with a bunch of bloody 19-year-olds gone loose, you know.
Where did I meet you? Somewhere completely random.
Aaron Moore.
Aaron Moore.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. And I went up to meet my friend John Paul, and we got a jet ski and went over to Aaron Moore. And then lo and behold, there's Faraway Martin on Aaron Moore. What were you doing out there that time?
Spot me anywhere. I don't know.
Had you a gig or something, no?
I had actually, yeah. My girlfriend is from Burton Port, so where you get the ferry out to Aaron Moore. Oh. She's from there.
So she has the accent.
She has the accent, yeah. Worked this chair.
I'd do anything
Mind
for
you,
that accent.
When it's roaring at you, you would.
It's not a turn on when it's shouting at you.
No.
Yeah, that's right. I met you out there and you were in the van and there was about 17 people in the back of it.
Yeah, that's right. We had a few over visiting. That's one of the great things about living abroad. Like when people come to Ireland, so many people come over and they always come to visit and we always try and show them a good time.
Good.
But like that, the opposite, like I've been to, 45 countries. I've been to weddings in 7 or 8 different countries of like friends that I've made, teachers, international teachers and that.
What's the most out there country you've been to? What's been the...
Oh, North Korea by far.
Why?
Because it's North Korea and not many people go there. I'd say about 1% of the world or whatever. Basically, we were going to China.
Is it hard to get into or
it's
what?
It's hard to get into and it's, you know, it's that dictatorship and it's all the rest of it.
How did you get into it?
We were going to China anyway on the spring break or midterm, we'll call it. At the time, a load of the documentaries came out, Vice documentary and all that sort of stuff about North Korea. And my housemate at the time, we were watching, we're like, Jesus, mad. And he looked up and he's like, we can actually go there. There's a marathon on and we can sign up for it and we'll get the visa and we could actually go there and visit it. So we did that. Sign up for the 10K. I wouldn't run a marathon now in a month, but did the 10K. I had my little, they say it's really, you know, there's no cameras and all this, that and the other. I had my tiny little GoPro, the old tiny little one, and I had it in my pocket and I ran and I had it on the whole time. People have phones out there. It is very... It is for like the dictatorship-y or what's the word? I can't think of
it. You're not allowed film out there.
Yeah, you're not allowed film and you have to have permission and all this. But I had the GoPro and I filmed basically half the run, you know?
Yeah.
And then when you're leaving, they check your cameras and stuff. Now, they didn't know I had the GoPro, but my friend had a big DSLR and they made him delete all the photos of tanks that he had taken and stuff like that.
Who made him delete them?
The army, when you're getting off the train, getting back to China. So, and
the army go through your bags.
Yeah.
And if you have a camera, you have to delete everything.
Yeah.
And could you not have like an SD card up your arse?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. That's what you do is you had a spare SD card and you just take a few random photos. So they'd have, give them something, a bit of bait.
A decoy.
Exactly.
Right. And you had the military stuff then in your sock.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's, I didn't break any major laws while I was there. I just filmed a little bit. And of course, the Daily Mail got a hold of it and, you know, made a big story out of it and all that. But
go on, what did they do?
They just took the video and, you know, just made a clickbait headline out of it. And Irishman films in blah, 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 in North Korea and all that.
No way.
You're not supposed to film military. And they were the security on the run. So they were in it. So technically, I suppose I did break the law.
And you didn't send it to them or anything?
No.
They just picked it up?
Yeah.
And would you be worried now about, well, obviously you're never going to go back there again.
I won't be going back. Been there, done that.
I got brought in when I was in Dubai, I got brought into a room, a really, really intimidating room.
Yeah.
And obviously I had 2 bags of camera gear with me at the time when I was going out. And you need permission as well out there, don't you?
I need to get a permit off the government for every single performance I do.
And how do you do that? Online, is it?
Mainly the event organizer or the venue will apply for it and all that, but it's pure control. Like it is, it's,
and you have to pay for it.
They do.
And then is there a chance that you don't get the permit?
Yeah, I have had to cancel so many gigs.
Why would they be turned down?
Didn't get the permit in it, didn't get the application in time, didn't, you know, it was over a holy holiday or, yeah, it happens. And sometimes they'll close a venue down if they're playing music too loud or didn't have the right person the right day, they would punish them.
So I was brought in when I went out, I flew out with the band and there was probably 5 or 6 of us in our party and I was dragged in. I went in, I presented my passport and your man held the passport and he stood there and he didn't say anything to me. And he was waiting and waiting, and I was looking at him, and he wasn't doing anything. And then this other man came over, really, really intimidating, military style man. And the man that had my passport hands him the passport and says, follow him. And this is my first experience of Dubai, just after landing. And I get brought into this room, and it's just mirrors everywhere. And I was left waiting in that room for not long, maybe 10 or 15 minutes.
Long 10 minutes, tough.
It was a long time. Jeez, yeah. It was a long time.
Yeah.
And I was the last one through, so the band didn't know what had happened.
Yeah.
They didn't know where I was gone. And I was 10 minutes in this room, maybe. And then this man comes in. He takes my fingerprints. He scans my eyeballs. Tells me to sit down. Leaves me another 10 or 15 minutes. Then comes in, hands me my passport, and tells me to leave. And I said, what was that about? And he goes, we thought you were somebody else.
Right. Right, yeah. Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. You have that mug on you.
I had a stamp on my passport for Egypt, and somebody said maybe it was that.
Possibly, but I don't know. Sometimes it's just random like that.
It was awful intimidating.
But yeah. I got my passport taken off me coming back into Qatar one day because I lined up. You know how it's the zigzag, you know those pulley belt things?
Yeah.
They do the zigzag. I ducked under. Instead of walking zigzag, I was wrecked. I was after traveling from 14 hours from America or something. I was wrecked, so I ducked under. And
there was no one in them.
There was no one in
them. You weren't skipping the queue.
I wasn't skipping the queue.
You're just, making a shortcut
and
for yourself.
The guard said, he said in Arabic, no. And I said, come on, that's crazy, come on. And he assumed I called him crazy. I said, la, imagine, that's the couple of Arabic I have.
Yeah.
Took the passport off me, sit down, made me wait. He literally just held the passport. He just made me wait for an hour.
Put you in the ball corner.
Yeah. And it was just, it's just a power trip. You know what I mean? So that's what some of that could be. But yeah, I mean, it's not a place you'd mess around with the law or anything because it's, you know.
Do you know what I really?
It's frightening.
You'll probably laugh at this. I was really intrigued by the women.
Yeah.
Because all you can see is eyes.
Yeah.
And they have the most beautiful eyes in the world.
Yeah.
They must spend about 2 hours doing the eyes before they leave the house. The makeup, they're so intriguing. You're just looking at these eyes thinking, she is savage looking.
They are absolutely beautiful women. They definitely are.
Yeah. And there's no getting with them out there, is there?
I've heard a few tales. All right, but let's put it this way. Unless you were going to convert to Islam, it wouldn't be a husband and wife. You wouldn't be husband material.
It'd just be a fling.
I know plenty of lads who have met like Lebanese girls or Egyptian girls or go on dates. You know, I've known lads that go on dates with Muslim girls and, you know, they're lovely and all that. But a lot of the time, it's not going to be marriage unless you're willing to convert. But yeah, look.
No, that's the most interesting part because you're a young 23-year-old lad. You know, you're full of beans and you're going to another country. And obviously you're going to be interested in women and
absolutely
a bit of shite hawking, you know. Yeah. But there's rules out there and you have to be careful.
That's the thing. Going back to the World Cup, this is what sparked so much controversy is the people talking about how they're homophobic out there. But like a third of the countries that were in the World Cup, playing in the World Cup, it's illegal to be gay in those countries. There's nothing being said about that. They're saying that, it's awful if two gay men are holding hands, they'll get put in jail or they'll get whatever. Or if they go kissing or whatever. If I go kissing my girlfriend in public, I'll get put in jail as well. It's just when you're in that country, you just respect, no matter what country you're in, you respect the rules and regulations, you know? And it's just about having a bit of respect. So like that's where...
Yeah, you're their guest, so you respect their rules.
But yeah, luckily I've never been arrested in Qatar, or I've never been caught shifting, or
any. Were you ever arrested in Ireland?
No.
No. That's just the way you said I was never arrested in Qatar.
I got arrested in Germany one time, all right.
Did you?
Completely innocent.
Go on, tell us that story. We have ways of making you talk.
Oh, Christ of all, I can't believe I even said that. Myself and a couple of my friends who will remain nameless for the sake of this. We were in a nightclub in Germany. One of my friends is German. We went over to visit him. he went to school in Ballinrobe, grew up in Ballinrobe, but he had to do his 1 year community service thing or his army service out there. So we went over to visit him, and it was the end of our first year in college. I remember I was wearing an Ireland rugby jersey and the other lad was wearing a Kildare football jersey. Like, we couldn't have stood out more, like, you know.
Couldn't have been more Irish.
Oh, like a tin of Coke in a Fanta shop. We were just, didn't look right. But then we were outside and I studied German. I did it for the Leaving Cert. So I was trying every single word I had, chatting up these couple of German girls. And the boys came out, the three lads, and there was a three-wheel truck, fruit truck. And they toppled it over on its side.
Who did?
The lads.
Your lads?
Yeah, they were drunk and stupid. So they toppled it over. And yeah, they ran. So I ran with them. And two of the boys got away. The German lad was German, so he got away.
Okay.
One of the other lads hid. Then me and my other friend, let's call him John, we hid behind a car. It was the only car in the car park. And next thing, three squad cars came in and surrounded us. And the two of us got taken off. And I was like, I kept saying it wasn't me. I was like, take my fingerprints. I was like, I'm not even drunk. You breathalyze me. Ich bin nicht voll. I'm not drunk. I kept saying. So they came in and breathalyzed me anyway. Sure.
You know all the couple of fuckers to get you out of bother anyway. Is that the first thing you learn when you go into a new country? Learn how to say, this is crazy, or it wasn't me, or I'm not drunk.
Well, I tell you what.
What's I'm not drunk in North Korean?
They like the drink over there, so thankfully I didn't have to use that.
So go on, you were brought into the police station.
Brought into the police station. Myself and John were put in separate interrogation rooms. He was cack in the pants. He was very nervous. He'd no German. And then when they came in, I said, breathalyze my friend. They were having crack at us by this stage.
Were they, yeah?
They were, by the end of it. Like, they went in.
Were they rough with you when they arrested you?
No, they were sound. Just took us off in two different police cars. Like,
right.
It was just, yeah, look, we were what, 19? You know.
And then what happened? Did they interview you?
They interviewed us. They went in to breathalyze John. And he was like, I wasn't driving. I swear I wasn't driving. I pushed it over, but I wasn't driving. So he admitted then that he pushed it over, whereas I actually didn't. So I wasn't admitting it. But anyway,
yeah,
we got away with a slap on the wrist and it was fine.
That was it? Just
that's
a slap
the
on the wrist?
That's the only arrest I ever had. I don't know why I'm even talking about this. And actually, no, I wasn't arrested. They didn't press charges.
You were detained.
Anyway, I was detained. Exactly.
Yeah.
There you go. Let's
Amazing.
Keep this image squeaky clean.
Is Qatar and Dubai and all these places everything they're cracked up to be? Would you recommend them?
I think, yeah, I would. Look, it's a savage way to see the world. It's a great way to save money. It's a great way to get a bit of life experience. At the same time, I hate to see everyone leave in Ireland, but there's damn well options here. And the price of everything is just insane. Like this inflation bubble hasn't really hit the Middle East. It's always been expensive there, but the salary matches it. And the fact that you don't have to pay for rent, health insurance, this, that, and the other, or let's say your rent is subsidized, you mightn't have to pay all of it. It's a great option. It's probably the best thing I've ever done because it's led to so many fantastic things in my life. Like, ended up finding my fiance there, like met a Donegal girl in a pub out there, you know. Traveled all around the world, got so many amazing opportunities playing music, taught some of the most fantastic kids, had some great experiences. So yeah, I wouldn't tell, it's not for everyone. There's people over there and they only last a while. I was very lucky. I was in a very good school. My principal was really, really good to me. The people I worked at were good. The families there were so supportive. You hear people going over and they're in nightmare schools and, you know, everyone's right. Situation is different.
You know, at the end of the season then, like at the summer holidays, where we would bring maybe a box of chocolates or a one for all voucher into our teachers. What did you get?
I got a Ballon d'Or. You know the thing?
Yeah.
That Messi's going to get or whoever?
Yeah.
I got one of them saying Mr. Martin this year. That's made from made from gold, I think.
No way.
I got the coolest gift I got was a Swiss Army knife from a Swiss family that says, thanks, Mr. Martin. And a little note saying, this isn't a weapon. It's what the kids get for their Holy Communion. And it's used to open beer bottles. And it's used for, in you know, camping and this, that, and the other. I've got, like, friends of mine have gotten iPhones. They've gotten, like, Louis Vuitton bags. They've got, you know, all this sort of stuff. Like, some of the stuff is crazy. Like,
yeah.
I'm very grateful for the experience I had. And as I said, it's definitely one of the best decisions I ever made to go. I'm still glad to be home. I'm going to give this a go for a while. We both will be moving home eventually, but for Shauna's going to be over there for the next year, maybe two. I'm between that time, I'll be gigging away over there and doing what I can back here as well.
Is the long distance thing hard?
It is tough, yeah. Like we...
You must be very secure.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. There's times I'm insecure too, but I know, we, like, I have to say, I landed on my feet when I met Shauna because she's very supportive. There's none of this jealousy stuff or any of that. You know, the fact that I'm
up on stage. It's tough to find when you're a musician, I'd say.
Yeah, yeah. No, she's very supportive. She's got a great ear for music. She'll tell me if something's good or if something's not so good. Or I like that. Yeah, I'm not really fond of that one. I prefer the other. You know what I mean?
Yeah. She won't blow smoke up your arse.
No, definitely not. But she definitely is biased at the same time.
Yeah.
When's
the last time you saw her?
It'd be 3 weeks ago now, I'd say.
And you're not going to see her again for how long?
Another three. It'd be 6 weeks.
6 weeks. That's not too bad.
It's not too bad.
I'm sure you could be living in Ballinrobe and Limerick and not see each other for...
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. But like, we lived together, we drove to work together, we worked together, we were glued to the hip for the last while, you know, so it is...
Sounds like torture.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm only messing. I'm jealous.
For a lot of people it is, but I have to say, we're like, I'm very laid back and she's very laid back. I'd be highly strung in certain ways, but... No,
I'm delighted. You sound like a match made in heaven. I'm delighted for you. And congratulations on your engagement. Where did you propose?
Rutland Island, the one beside Aranmore. That's where her family
originally
with
the little houses on it?
Yes, yes.
Cool. Yeah. It's such a cool island.
Oh, it's unbelievable, yeah.
There's one street.
Yeah, Duck Street.
Yeah, there's one street on the island.
So, yeah, that's our song. There's a song by Mad Dog McRae called Dancing on Duck Street. It's beautiful. And it's about that.
So you proposed out there. Was it just the two of you?
Yeah, I and her cousin as well. She kind of helped me. It was, you know, the big beach that faces Aranmore.
Yeah.
I had it written. Well, her cousin Sarah wrote it on that.
Right.
And she had no clue. I spent the last 3 years convincing her that I didn't believe in marriage. The biggest waste of money and this, that and the other. Any wedding we go to, I'd be like, oh, this is a big, absolute waste of money. This is a con.
Yeah.
So a part of the long-term plan. She hadn't a clue.
Right.
I had a drone as well. I have an old Mavic Air. And of course, it wouldn't, like the plan was... The plan was we were going down to the beach to, you know, I wanted to get some shots of the sunset over whatever for my next song or whatever.
Yeah.
And when we got down there, the drone wouldn't work. And then the dog tried to eat the drone and all mental. And I was like, right, let's just walk down towards the beach. So she was going to see it written on the drone, we'll say. But we just had to walk onto the beach and she saw it and she...
Yeah, no, I can just imagine her reading it like from this perspective. Going, what does that say? Does it?
Yeah. And you there going, oh, shock. No. She just, I gave up on the whole drone thing. I was like, right, how am I going to do that? Like, I'm normally very cool. I don't get nervous going on stage or any of that. But
did she suspect anything?
She hadn't a clue, but she's looking back. She's like, how could I? You were so flustered. Like, I was like, I was sweating. I dropped the ring. Like, I dropped the box. I dropped the drone. I couldn't find my phone. I left it down in the grass and in the dune. I couldn't. It was all this sort of stuff. It was like everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. But she said yes, so it's all worth
it. Were you nervous that she mightn't?
No.
You knew, yeah.
I don't mean to sound cocky or gothic there, but I had enough bloody...
So you were anxious then that you just wanted it to go well?
I just wanted it to go perfect, yeah, because, yeah.
Oh.
But it didn't, but it did. It was great.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. Yeah. Well done. Fair fucks to you.
Cheers.
You had a lovely song that got an awful lot of coverage on Midwest at the time.
The Lights Turn On.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was such a...
I think it was the perfect song for The Notebook, that movie, because it's like a life story.
Yeah.
I think that's what appealed. I think that's why I've got kind of older listeners, because people can't understand how a young lad could write a song from an old point of view.
Right.
Like an experienced perspective. Well, it's just a story at the end of the day, you know.
The lights turn on, the party ends, and I just can't believe. She said yes, we danced all night, swept her off her feet. One week on as the movie ends, and the names roll down the screen. I'm struggling with conversation, popcorn in my teeth. 5 years old, she's dressed in white, making her way up the aisle. We stuck together all this time. I can't believe she chose me.
What impressed me was young, local, original artists don't get requests on Midwest.
Well, Alan, that goes back to the problem of local artists don't get played in, like, Irish acts don't get played on Irish radio for the most part. Like, in other countries...
No, they do though. I'm not sticking up for radio now, but they have to buy their license, have to play a certain percentage of Irish music.
Which is, like, very low in Canada.
Is it 11%?
In Canada, it's 90%. In France, it's 90%. Like...
But, right, let's just say, if we turned our radio stations into 90% Irish music, would people enjoy them?
Well, I'm not saying...
Now, Midwest, by the way, is something like 70%
Midwest
or 80%.
Is, 100% but, Midwest is the best station.
No, and I'm not sticking up for them. So if they're 60 or 70% Irish, probably 50% of that is country.
It's country, yeah. That's
and then it's
station.
Whatever else seeps in that's been launched or that might have been requested.
No, absolutely.
So Midwest, that's what puts them ahead. They're not playing the Faraway Martins or the Lisa Canny's or the, you know, they're not playing that as much as they should.
Yeah.
But in general.
I'm not saying like all right, Midwest are brilliant.
They are brilliant.
Tommy Maron has been like a godfather to me. So he's a gentleman.
They're very supportive.
They're
of local, yeah.
It's the more the mainstream radio. I'm not asking for 90%, but like, you know, they're playing all these big, like if you go to, I'm not going to name any radio stations, but if you can think of your biggest three or four radio stations, you will hear the same song. If you switch between them three or four radio stations, you'll hear the same, I don't know, Dua Lipa song five or six times over those stations. Like, you know, play The Saw Doctor. Play, you know, I'm not asking for 90%, but Irish radio needs more. It's putting money back into the economy, the royalties, everything. There's nowhere near enough support for Irish music, with Midwest being the exception. And then you have the other thing, all the Irish shows. The Irish show with Fergal Darcy is known to FM. It's like 9 to 11 on a Sunday morning or something like that.
Was he back on radio?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's the graveyard shift. It's the Friday night.
Yeah.
It's the Sunday night, you know. And
but it's just a box-ticking exercise.
Yeah.
It's so that they can fill out the form at the end of the week and say we played 11% Irish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I don't know if it's 11, but it was. It was once upon a time.
It's not much more than it now, I can guarantee you. But not only that, then a lot of it then will get played in the middle of the night. You know, at 4 o'clock in the morning.
You're 100% right. You're 100% right there. But then there was this fantastic initiative to find the local hero.
Yeah.
And that was a great initiative because you had to find, was it 6 or 7 artists in the local area? The radio station had to play them.
Yeah.
They had to support them. They had to give them the online platform. And then I know this because I was over that project in Midwest for the very first one. And then we had to fill out forms and we had to download all the audio of every time we played it and how often we played it. And we had to tick so many boxes. So for any radio station that wasn't complying, that was a fantastic exercise.
Yeah.
And the musicians got money at the end of it.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it was brilliant, but it shouldn't be a once a year thing.
No. No.
You know,
but, right, so let's
Alan, the country is flooded with talent.
But that's the other problem.
It's flooded with talent. Yeah, that is the problem. It's there's so much noise. I think that's why I'm lucky. I was in Qatar.
But it's flooded with shite too. Like, the country is absolutely flooded with shite that, you know, there might be a girl out there that looks amazing, or a fella, not saying a girl, but there might be a singer out there that looks amazing. He's in with everyone.
Yeah.
He has a cool TikTok, a cool Instagram page, and his dad knows your man over in that agency.
I think that's Ireland summed up in every business, not just the music business, but you're 100% right.
I get that a lot with my... Look at my podcast, for instance. My podcast gets unbelievable downloads. No one talks about it.
Yeah.
It never gets media. I haven't been invited on any radio, no other national podcasts ever. Like, no one... I booked a gig for a venue in Letterkenny recently. My gig was booked in before another podcast, but the other podcast, who's in with this huge label in Dublin, managed the venue to pull mine.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why'd you pull my gig? My gig's booked in, but no, I didn't have the power.
Oh, well, that's your radio answer there. That's your music industry answer there. It's making enough a buzz that you get the attraction of those people, and then you'll be a Dermot Kennedy, a Hosier, a Lyra.
But isn't that what you have to do now to make it, though, as a musician? Sadly, you have to have the viral videos. You have to have the TikToks, the busking TikToks, and the cool photos and the cool videos.
I haven't busked in 15 years. I went up to Galway last week, and I swear to God, it was The best crack.
But you nearly have to concentrate more on a viral 30-second video than you do of making new music.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. It's that's why I hate the way, as I said earlier, that's why I hate the way TikTok is gone, or social media is gone for music, because it's so fake. And all these videos, and as well with YouTube, they're not singing live there in front of you. A lot of these big YouTube karaoke video things, like, it's all pre-recorded and they're singing over it. And that's the way TikTok has gone as well.
Yeah.
But I'm a firm believer, like when I play music, I play the guitar and I make a loop on the spot. I record like a live looping. I'm very old school and old fashioned, and I'm, you know, I don't do any of these backing tracks or any of that sort of stuff. But I think it's slowly going to come full circle, and people are getting all sick of this. It's the same crap. You see, the same 10 artists are trying the same 10 different trends to see will it click, and maybe it does click. And
I agree with you. Radio has gone very stale, and you're 100% right. You're hearing the same, like these songs from the Barbie movie.
Yeah.
Oh my God. They're on every station every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
There's two or three songs from the Barbie movie.
Yeah. Fair enough, it is the highest grossing movie in Ireland, all the rest of it. But there's just so much.
And it's hilarious then how Nicki Minaj can have a song about a wet cat.
Yeah.
And we're here talking about the Wolf Tones playing an Electric Picnic.
Yeah.
You know, or we're trying to get a Christmas song cancelled from 1984.
Yeah.
And Nicki Minaj is talking about her wet cat.
A very wet cat.
A wet ass cat. Do you know? And no one is talking about Nicki Minaj.
Yeah. The world's gone daft.
The world's gone daft.
Crazy. Yeah. I hate the way it's gone. I hate the way there's kind of an expectation of you to perform like a monkey to get your music heard. Or just, you know, to get it seen, and it has to be a certain standard, and you know, like, I just hate that. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to do it differently, but I still, as you said, I still have to be on TikTok. I have to be relevant. I have to have a TikTok, Instagram, a Facebook, a Twitter, a bloody, you know, you have to have all that if you want to make it, because you don't know which one of them could click. And that's...
Can I say something to you?
Go ahead.
Can you stop hating that?
Yeah, I need to change my mentality. I
for as long as you hate that,
it'll be a torture.
But why don't you flip it on its head and do something on those platforms that you enjoy?
Yeah.
Instead of saying, oh, I hate TikTok.
Yeah.
Why don't you make TikToks that you enjoy, or that might be a little bit different, or that might take off? And try and be a little bit left to centre instead of saying, oh, I have to go and make a feckin' TikTok today.
But it's not only that. It's like, you saw the big production, mass production video I did on top of a skyscraper in Doha. Like, put everything into that and it gets 300 views. It's like...
But they don't... This is really important, what I'm going to tell you now. That stuff doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
And a country music singer came to me 3 weeks ago and he asked me, will you do a music video for me? For people who don't know, that's what I used to do. I used to produce music videos. And not at a high standard. I've done a few for Nathan Carter, Robert Mazzell, Stuart Moyles. Seamus Moore was probably the most famous one I've ever done. And we were on a farm in Mayo. Do you know what I mean? But we went out to Spain and filmed one with Nathan Carter on a boat with his top off.
Nice.
You know, but the most famous one was Seamus Moore feeding chickens in Ballintubber. but what I'm saying is that look at Jazzy, for instance.
Yeah.
Jazzy now, there's no official music video for her new song.
But the song blew up long before. There's a video out now, but the song blew up.
But it
and
blew
it's all
up.
Short form content. I all know what you're getting at.
15 second videos.
Yeah.
She's playing with puppies in a park.
Yeah.
And it's all short. But that's so easy, Martin.
Yeah, I know it is. Yeah.
The thought of going to a skyscraper and getting this big production and doing it and then sitting down and refreshing the views. And how many views did that get? You have to throw a little bit more shit at the wall.
Yeah.
And the more shit you throw at the wall, more of it will stick.
Well,
the day of doing one video and uploading it and hoping you're going to be seen, that's gone.
I know. You keep having to do it. But you see, for me, it was like I was teaching full time and then I was gigging 4 or 5 gigs a week. So I literally...
You're wrecked.
I hadn't the energy. It consumes so much of your energy, you know? Yeah. And... So now I'm at the stage now where, like, today I was recording short form content for this song that's coming up and thinking different things and all that.
But she's popular and she's the lady of the moment, right? She's the first number one female in 14 years or something like that.
Yeah.
But if you look at her content, she ticked all the boxes. She did it right. She went to a carnival. And she, on the night of the carnival, she made 6 videos.
Yeah.
She was in bumper cars for one.
Yeah.
She was in the waltzers for another one. And she just put that content out over the next 3 or 4 days. I guarantee you, if you go back and look at the views, if she uploaded 6 videos, 3 of them didn't do well.
Yeah.
3 of them did exceptionally well.
Yeah.
And that's the way to go now. And just keep her lit and keep doing short form professional content.
Yeah.
Oh, you're like scratching yourself and you're smiling.
This is like a therapy session here with Alan Clark.
No,
but you're 100% right.
I don't want you coming in here saying, I hate TikTok, because you need it. And as long as you hate it, you're not going to make it.
I hate the way it's gone. I hate the way the fakeness of it.
Yeah.
That's what I hate about it. I still have to do it. Like, I'm going to have to get my finger out of my arse.
But you don't have to come on saying, oh, thanks a million to Louis Vuitton for sending me this handbag. You can still be yourself.
Yeah, oh yeah, but that's completely what I am going to do. Yeah. Like, that's, yeah, as I said, the old school stuff, I think, is going to come back around full circle, and not all this fake.
I study marketing inside out, morning, noon and night. I live it, I breathe it, it's all I do. I watch everything. I watch brands, I watch businesses. When I go into a restaurant, I can't relax. I'm sitting down, I'm looking at the menu, I'm looking at the condition of the menu, I'm looking at the words on the menu, I'm looking at how everything is presented. I'm looking at when a server comes over and they clear your plates, I'm waiting for them to say, would you like a dessert? And then I'm saying, right, they didn't ask me, do I want a dessert? This company is losing money now, because the waiter didn't say, can I get you anything else? Yeah. Can I interest you in a dessert? We've got a lovely pavlova today. Yeah. And everything, my mind never switches off, Martin. Ever, ever, ever. And the one country music star who has stayed consistent is making lovely money, nicely tipping along the whole time. Not a megastar, but not a nobody. Derek Ryan.
Yeah.
And when you go back and you look at Derek Ryan's content 6 years ago, he was the first country music singer in Ireland to nail everything from the start. All his social media looked the same. He had uniformity across the lot.
Yeah.
He had a logo across the lot. Everything he did was the same. His Facebook, his Instagram, everything was the same. His posters were the same. Everything was professional. And he's a man that's just tipping along nicely, making lovely money from gigs, making lovely money from recording songs like he wrote the Tumbling Paddy song, The Way I Am.
Oh, right. Yeah. I didn't know he wrote that.
And he's a man that I've often told other country music singers starting out, just watch Derek Ryan.
Yeah.
Watch what he's doing. Because he just keeps it lit the whole time.
Oh, yeah. He's.
And he's so consistent.
Yeah.
But the day of the big fancy music video, sadly, is gone. Which is good, though. Because that video would have cost you 3,000 or 4,000. It could have cost you 10,000.
Yeah.
And now all you need to do is
go
to the beach.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And get a six.
Yeah, it's just... I used to be great at it one time and I enjoyed it. But it's just the way it's all gone. It's sucked the soul out of it for me. You know what I mean? Yeah. But no, I'm going to have to just pull my socks up and actually do it. And like releasing a song, it's all about social media content. And if it clicks online, then that helps with the Spotify, which helps with the radio. Like, it's all a full circle thing, like, you know, which then agents will be interested in. Yeah. And then, you know, you'll hopefully get bigger gigs and you'll get pulled into here, there and everywhere. And that's,
yeah.
So it's just that I couldn't do that while I was teaching and gigging all the time from Qatar.
Right, so you had to make the sacrifice.
That's the sacrifice I made.
Don't get too bogged down on radio.
Yeah, I have in the past.
Radio plays don't mean a thing. They don't.
Yeah.
And don't be getting upset about it. And don't be wasting energy. Because I can tell you one thing. Radio is in a very difficult place. And the reason the likes of your cool, hip, regional radio stations aren't playing Faraway Martin is because they're afraid of losing listeners.
Yeah.
And it's nothing against you, but every radio station now is keeping it so safe that it's become boring.
Yeah.
Because they're all fighting for the same listeners. And you see these JNLR figures that come out every 3 months. And every radio station in the country goes, can't believe we're number one.
Yeah.
Every radio station in the country is number one that day. But they're number one in their town or in their village or in their region.
Their category or whatever.
Yeah, in their category. It's very easy to be number one, but it doesn't mean anything. And they're all just absolutely, they're all hemorrhaging listeners. They're hemorrhaging them to YouTube, to podcasts, to social media. And start pumping your energy into that. Start trying to get on more podcasts. Trying to focus your energy on online rather than radio. And
good like to know.
If you could get involved with the two Johnnies. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
is
yeah.
there any way you could get involved in the next pints in a field?
I'd say once a month I get called Johnny B, whichever one I look like. I get called one of them once
really?
A month. Yeah. Played a gig in Kong a couple of weeks ago and they're like, I never tell you look like your man from the two Johnnies. We must do a doppelganger test.
But even like if you did a video on TikTok where you said, oh, people are calling me Johnny B. And then all the comments would be, oh, yeah, if you ordered Johnny B on Wish or if you ordered Johnny B. Because people are nasty.
Yeah.
But if you can take that bit of crack and not get too bogged down about it, you're a handsome man.
Yeah,
you know you're a handsome man. You have your shit together. You have your fiance. It doesn't matter if a few people are giving you a bit of shit.
That's
the way forward. Embrace that.
Yeah.
If somebody tells you look like Johnny B, embrace it.
Yeah.
Run with it.
Yeah, okay.
Whatever's hot, run with it.
Go with it, yeah.
If you get a comment on TikTok saying you look like Johnny B, share that comment in another video.
And then,
go with it.
Yeah.
Go with it. And see where it brings you. And jump on all these things. And I know you're saying you have to jump on these trends. But, you know, you're just embracing these comments. Like, a lot of people tell me at the minute I look like some footballer that plays for Liverpool. Jordan Henderson. Now, obviously, I don't, but you don't think I do. But there's a particular time of wherever my beard is or my head.
There's
a particular time of the month that I particularly look like him.
Okay.
You know, and I could get thick about it, but I knocked the crack out of it.
Oh, completely, yeah. No, I get you. And that's great advice. It's probably the kick up the arse I needed because I've been so down about social media and down about radio and at times. You're 100% right. It's social media is where it's at. It's completely changed the world. Like online marketing, TikTok has completely changed the world.
Yeah.
It's just...
In radio stations, you're dealing with a music controller who has to just keep everything safe.
Yeah.
You're not going to change his mind and you're not going to get on the playlist unless you're cool, unless you're hip, unless you're... You know,
a label behind you, pumping money into you.
Maybe. But unless you're the cool dude on social media.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
You know? And then, like I'm saying to you here, I'm sitting here thinking to myself, look at all these views I'm getting. So I can get... I spoke to somebody last week who told me that they are the most successful podcast, the fastest growing, most successful podcast in Ireland.
And
That they are.
Okay.
And they told me their figures. And their figures are on a par with mine.
Right.
And I didn't tell them my figures.
Right, yeah.
But my podcast... No, because I'm not like, oh, well, I get the same number as you.
Yeah, of course. It's not a competition. Yeah.
In my head, I'm thinking, why does my podcast sit at number 8 or 10 or 12 or 30 in the charts? And yours is at number 1 every week or number 2 every week. And I'm getting the same downloads as you.
Yeah.
And I could sit here going, oh, well, fuck this, I should be at number 1 and why is she at number 1? But then I break it down in my head and I say, right, she brings out 2 a week and they're 25-30 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's easy to be at number 1 because to get at number 1, you have to listen to so many minutes, there have to be so many downloads and so many completions.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm doing 2-hour long podcasts, so it takes people 2 or 3 times to finish them.
Sittings, yeah, exactly.
So it won't go to number 1.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But she's getting everything. She's getting Electric Picnic. She's getting TV. She's getting radio. She's getting newspapers. She's getting big brand deals.
Yeah.
She's getting absolutely everything.
Yeah.
And doing probably half the work I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I could sit here and go, oh, well.
Would you, is that your goal, Alan? Is that what you want?
No, what I want to do, my goal... It's a good question because I don't know what my goal is. My goal is to get a bit of security, be self-employed and have a bit of security, whatever brand that is or whatever it is I do.
Okay.
But I also want to keep doing what I want to do.
Yeah.
I can turn this podcast into a real cool, funny, hip podcast and do 2 20-minute episodes a week. But I'm enjoying this too much.
Yeah.
You know, I'm enjoying these chats.
It's a more personal level and it's more you.
I really enjoy talking to a young fella that left everything, went to Qatar. Now he's coming back and to find out your experiences and living through you. Because my life is actually quite boring. People do think I live this mad, exciting lifestyle and I'm on the road the whole time and this, that and the other. my life is a lot of meetings and stress and anxiety and sleepless nights, and I find my life quite challenging. So I enjoy talking to people like you. But
again, Al, you're seeing the best. People are seeing in your life what they see online, and like you think the same as me. Like, Jesus, I have the same insecurities and sleepless nights and this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
Like, sure, it all looks great, but like, do you know? Comparison's the theft of joy. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah. Well, if I was offered a job in Qatar tomorrow morning with free rent, I'd take it. I'd be gone.
I'd put a word in for you.
I'd be gone. So to answer your question,
I'll send your CV to QBS. I'm telling you, they'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. Oh, I'd love it. Jeez, I'd love a job in radio out there. To answer your question, I just want to be me.
Yeah.
And I want to keep doing these chats, and I couldn't give a shite about getting a TV interview.
Right.
And yeah. I've got a new manager now, and
lovely.
My manager said to me, do you know about going to this event or that event? And I said to her, I've no interest in going to that event.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, but this one's going to be there and that one's going to be there and it's going to be really cool. And I'm like, that's going to cost me money.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to drive up to Dublin and be at an event and be seen holding a glass of this beside such a one. And I have no interest in that. I'd rather stay at home tonight and worry about my next podcast.
Yeah.
Unless there's somebody at that event that I really want to meet, you know, that I really, really admire, and that I, or there's a product that I really believe in.
The reason Lewis Capaldi does so well is because he doesn't give a shit and he's 100% himself.
Yeah.
Another person is Garen, your mate Garen. He's loved. He's a genius.
Yeah.
But he's 100% himself. You know what I mean?
He is a genius. If you could 3D print a social media genius, Garen is what you would get.
Yeah.
He has ticked all the boxes.
Yeah, he's...
He's a man now that can go online, review stuff, do ads, get paid, and he doesn't have people in his comments going, oh, look at your man sold out. Cowboy's a great example of that, right? Cowboy puts up a video every day. He has to be creative and think about content every day. And every day he makes people laugh.
Yeah.
For free. Every day. And he has to take the shit and the good and the bad. But then he drinks a pint and he gets paid to drink a pint. And the comments are, oh, you're a fucking sellout.
Yeah.
That's Ireland. You don't get that. Do you know another example? And we'll finish up now because we're kind of going on a mad rant here. This was really interesting to me last night. There's a girl on RTE News Instagram and she's doing these news reports from her bedroom.
Okay.
So it might be a house that was struck by lightning, went on fire in Kildare. And she does the report from her bedroom. Or it might be about a particular lipstick. And she does a really good job and she uploads it. All the comments are about the girl. Oh my God, RT, where did you get this? Is this a TY work experience girl after taking over? Do you not verify your content? Blah, blah, blah. And then last night I came across one on BBC, the exact same format. It was a young girl from England. She looked the same, probably 18, 19, studying journalism.
Yeah.
She was doing a story on a plane where a plane had to turn around because a passenger ran up the middle aisle with diarrhea.
Yes.
Right? So I went into the comments and none of the comments were giving her shit.
Yeah.
In England.
I think Irish people, like, you know, so many... The Savage Eye have made fun of it or have addressed it. So many different things. I think Irish people are great at supporting you when you're the underdog.
Mm.
And I think when people get that little bit of success.
Yeah.
Like, who's your man? Who do you think he is?
Yeah.
I think they're great. When you're starting out, I think people, especially locally, people are, I have to say, I have fantastic supporters here and abroad, but here I'm in the petrol station the other day, a fella said that song you did from that film, and he was on about Shallow from the movie with Lady Gaga. I did that video in the stairwell about 5 years ago, and he's like, I listen to that every couple of weeks. It's a video that I completely forgotten about. You know, you don't realize the stuff you're making, that it actually means so much to some people.
Yeah.
But so, like, some people are great, and that's a mass generalization that everyone's begrudging, but a lot of people will support you. And then as soon as you get a taste of success, they're like, oh, who is that? See you next Tuesday, I think he is now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. How do you feel after our chat today?
Good, man. Good. Yeah. I appreciate the advice and fair play to you for keep going. And I know it's not easy. And like I've always looked up to you. And
you're looking up to the wrong man.
Not in the Hythe way, but in like online. Fair play to you, and you're not afraid to put yourself out there. And what's the beauty of it? It's kind of been the theme of this the whole way through. Is you're yourself. You've been yourself, and the way you sit down on the couch and talk to people in the evening, it's like you're sitting down beside you having a chat, and that's great. You know, I was great at that, and then I just got fed up of it all. But like, as you said, I'm just going to have to go head first into it again. Yeah. Go home now and do a deep dive when I get home now.
I'd love to try and find that fire and put it back in your belly. Because
when I get a bit of success, let's stay positive, it'll come back. Do you know what I mean? Like I was spoiled. I had a couple of videos that went mega viral. Like I had a video that was on, I did a bungee jump and the phone fell out of my pocket, and that was on Good Morning America. It was on CNN, BBC. It went to everywhere. Now it wasn't the viral for the right reason, but you know what I mean? And I got a huge,
gave you a bit of fire.
Yeah. And it gave me great confidence as well. And although I made an absolute gobshite of myself, if you Google Irish guy loses bungee jumping, you'll see me. It's shameful. Right. But anyway,
hard work,
yeah,
consistency, and collaborations.
Yeah, consistency is 100% the key there. But yeah, you're dead right.
They're the three things I would.
Yeah, that's very well put, little guru.
Rub my belly here for good luck. Right, far away, Martin. How can people follow you online?
Far away, Martin, everywhere. On, I have music on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, and then I'm on all the social media places, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, everywhere apart from many of the dating websites you'll find me.
Is there dating websites out in Qatar?
Oh, there's Tinder, yeah, and Bumble and all them ones you're on.
Right. And do
you might have hope yet.
Do lads have good success on them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Girls have more success because there's so few girls. There's more men than women over there, so girls can
really
have their pick. Yeah,
they have their pick.
Yeah.
Oh, sure, Jesus, that'd be no good to me.
Ah, no, you wouldn't know.
If I fell into a field of nettles, I wouldn't get stung. I better stay put in Mayo. So far away, Martin. Thank you for
Alan, thank you for your
honesty.
Thank you for your great chat, great companionship. Thank you very much.
And keep her lit.
100%.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The Big News Coming Soon podcast is proudly sponsored by B&B Homes. B&B Homes is Ireland's number one award-winning manufacturer of factory-built homes. We take your home from start to finish. Our homes are A-rated and meet planning regulations. We build to your requirements and your budget. The cost includes your home being turnkey and our chartered engineers' fees. Please get in touch for a viewing of our show homes, a brochure, or for more information. Let B&B Homes take the stress out of your build. Check out brbhomes.ie.